Nutrition Business Today.
Nutrition Business Today.
Nutrition Business Today.
The facts, fiction, and future of nutrition with Tom Arts, co-founder of Nutrition Business Journal and managing director of Nutrition Business Advisors. Now here's the creator and host of Nutrition Business Today, Tom Arts.
Welcome to Nutrition Business Today. It is my great pleasure to welcome two guests today to talk about a topic that has been on everybody's mind the last couple of years, and particularly in the last year, AI. We are fortunate today to have the founder and CEO of Neuritas, Dr. Nora Caldi, and the managing director of the Los Angeles office of LEK Consulting, a good friend of mine, Alex Evans. They are both very successful leaders in their respective companies and fields, but they also know something about AI from two different perspectives. So it's going to be an interesting podcast today, and I think you'll enjoy listening to it. A little background on my speakers or my guests today. Nora, if you don't mind me calling you Nora, mathematician, PhD in molecular evolution and bioinformatics. She has a passion for another topic that I'm interested in this year also is peptides, and she's kind of combined AI and peptides, and she's sort of revolutionizing peptides through using AI tools and big data and machine learning and algorithms to create new peptides for the food industry and the pharma industry. Nora was featured as one of the top leading women entrepreneurs in Ireland, and that's why you'll hear an Irish accent, I believe, and was awarded the Nutra Champion Award from Nutra Ingredients, which is not easy to get this May. So congratulations, Nora, and welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you. Lovely being here as well.
And we also have Alex. Just a brief background. Alex went to Berkeley, MBA from Harvard Business School. He advises business leaders at the top of the food chain on lots of different strategic issues. LEK, if you don't know it, is one of the top strategic advisory consulting firms. They're the ones that get paid the big bucks to sort out big strategic problems for CEOs and big companies. Alex heads the consumer practice there, the health, wellness, and sports practices in North America, and has a passion for nutrition, because we talk a lot about that. And we've been talking a lot about personalized nutrition in our last few years of collaborating on things. So I think the combined passion and superpowers of these two guests will be able to uncork and unwind a little bit about what's going on in AI, what is ChatGPT, but what does it mean particularly for the nutrition industry, and for the food industry and the pharma industry and where we all live. So with that, I welcome you, Alex. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Honored to be here today.
Let's just dive in. It's an interesting conversation. I've never really had two guests from two separate companies, two different types of companies. But Alex, you really piqued my interest with some of the work you did, which is what consulting firms do. You try to take a topic and really unwind it before the rest of the world's understanding it. And I read your deck that you so kindly shared with me called Generative AI Applications for VMS. By the way, Nora, you're in the deck that he did. And I think it was for his clients to say, here's what's happening in AI. And that was just published in June. And then, of course, Nora, you're actually in the field creating products using AI. And I'm really interested in what Neuritas is doing. So let me start with you, Nora, if you don't mind. Tell us a little bit about your story, how you got into this company called Neuritas, which I'll let you summarize, and what you're currently doing and why you're going to change the way we look at nutrition in the food industry.
Thanks, Tom. So like you said, my background is pure mathematics, computer science. I worked in the area of discovery of new molecules in nature for many, many years during my academic career. And it was always at the intersection with industry. And the goal there was nature's full of really interesting molecules. And yet, as humans, we only utilize very little of those. And the issue is that there's so many molecules that it's very, very hard to use traditional ways to find them. So I was always called into these projects to think differently. How can we actually data mine these molecules in a faster, more effective way? Because at that time, and even today, the way molecules are discovered takes decades. And it costs hundreds of millions. And it's just unfeasible and it's not sustainable in any way. So I was called into many of these projects to think differently. And this is how really my career in this area started. So initially it was looking at computational ways and mathematical ways to identify new molecules. And these could be anything, could be small molecules, could be peptides, proteins, and others in different plants. And then I came to the area of nutrition right after my PhD. And I realized that the area of nutrition as a whole is a very interesting area waiting for a huge solution, because looking at the ingredients that we use today, they're very, very old ingredients. A lot of them, no one knows how they work, why they do what they do. Very little data, supporting data in terms of mechanism, how they work, etc. And very, very few new ingredients coming to the industry. And the question is, why can't we find new molecules? Because obviously nature is full of them. And the reason has been that, like I said, there are so many molecules in nature, it's very, very hard to decipher which ones do what and how can we take them further. So we need new technologies to come in to decipher those. And this is where my own background played a lot in this field, in terms of, well, how do we make ingredient discovery feasible in our industry? How can we shorten the cycles? How can we bring science to it? How can we understand the mechanisms of these molecules? And the only real way to do that is through AI. There are no other methods you could apply to do this. And separately from a nutritional play, a lot of the products that we're consuming in the food industry, at least, okay, we're talking about nutrition as a whole. So if you look at the food industry, it's a 10 trillion industry causing a 6.6 billion health problem. And that's massive. This is through the ingredients that are used within these brands. So there's...
Let me stop you there, just because I don't want to lose that point. And you told me that in one of our earlier conversations. And by the way, I've used that in... Why did you decide to apply it to nutrition, all this knowledge about creating new molecules? Because you could have gone the biotech, you could have gone the pharma route.
Yeah. So I worked in pharma initially, and it's interesting because the technology as a whole, when I created Neurotas at the beginning, the question was, do we go pharma first or do we go consumer first? And there's a massive need and an unsolved problem in consumer that no one was tackling. In pharma, you still can recoup the cost of spending hundreds of millions and potentially billions on a drug. You can recoup the cost, but in this area, you can't. And also from an AI perspective, because AI was coming into life sciences at that time, you need to de-risk the technology. That means you need to take things all the way from concept to market. And the fastest route for the technology de-risking was the consumer space. So we went consumer because it's a massive problem waiting to be solved. There are many, many products needing to be invented, but also ingredients that need to be replaced with healthier, better efficacy while being natural. It's a massive market waiting to be solved. Hence, I went after that area first. It doesn't mean we don't work with pharma. We have some certain projects ongoing with pharma, but it's a separate development route than the consumer space.
Right. And you told me that you started the 6 billion. I think the quote you used the other day, which got drilled into my head, and I believe this, is that, you know, there's a $10 trillion food industry that isn't necessarily the healthiest food industry for people yet. I think we're trying to make some progress. But right now around the world, it's creating a trillion, pharmaceutical industry, right, throughout the world. These are global numbers because you're a global company. But same thing in the U.S., right?
It's massive. Like food as a whole should be at least neutral or improve health, but not destroy it. And that is literally due to the ingredients. So everything has changed. The brands have changed. The packaging has changed. The flavor and texture has changed. But the active or the molecules inside that are used are the same because they're 70 years old, 100 years old, invented for a consumer that doesn't exist anymore. Now are retrofitted to what needs to happen. A lot of these ingredients as well have been tailored toward taste and cost, less so on health. So as a whole, there's a massive need for new ingredients to move away from the current ones and make them safer, but also to bring efficacy, to bring more science to the whole well-being area as well, bringing understanding of mechanistic work. Because coming into this area, you notice there's a lot of different molecules, like I said, and a lot of different ingredients, and you have a lot of claims. And very often, no one really knows how they work, why they work, what they do, how they do what they're doing. And you have to know that in order to create products that actually constantly work with the same efficacy. So that's why Neurotas, this is why when I came into this industry, that's the biggest fault I saw. And given the background I had and working in this industry already and knowing how to bring new technologies and accelerate that discovery, making it more scientific, with a clear consumer in mind, as opposed to retrofitting something that you just discover in the lab. But really, let's start with what the consumer needs. Let's find something that's scientifically sound, natural, safe, etc., but with high efficacy. So we know that it's consistent. We know that it will work. And we know when it won't work. So that's what AI can do, and you can't do otherwise.
Oh, let's dive into that, and then I'll go to Alex, because I want him to even give us his interpretation of what you're doing from his perspective, because he sees all the companies using AI. But I mean, we had a company last year's summit. I might add to the listeners that are hearing this that Nora is going to be speaking at our MBJ CEO summit next week, actually, the 27th of July, where she's going to talk. We have these innovative spotlight sections where we bring in some of the new thinking. And last year we had Brightseed there. And they were talking about some of the developments they did. And I think they were using AI as well. Tell me as succinctly as you can, why is it now that AI is going to enable you to skyrocket this concept to another level?
It's funny when you look at the history and evolution of technology in general, Tom, it's not a one technology that's going to just come and solve an entire industry. It's usually the culmination of many technologies that get to a point where now they're ready. In our area, for example, AI could not work without proteomics and mass spectrometry. And now with mass spectrometry, this is separate to AI. With mass spectrometry, we can literally read a lot more what's in a plant or what's in a source material than we did before. Going back maybe even 7 years ago and even more, even 10 years ago, this would have been very, very weak. The data we'd be getting from the different sources would be terribly weak. So it's hard to then use AI on that data. Things like proteomics, peptidomics in our space.
If you don't mind speaking, I always say, tell me like I'm a six-year-old, because I think the CEOs understand a lot of that, but you are such a sophisticated scientist. So all those proteomics and metabolomics and stuff, boil that down for us.
So basically, AI does not work in a hole on its own. It needs many other technologies for it to be at the forefront of what it can do. And that couldn't be possible 10 years ago, because now we have technologies that allow us to see what's in nature and give that data to AI to educate it. We, I think I was mentioning to you, Tom, we spent about $50 million on educating the AI in terms of different aspects in the lab. So there's no way you can accelerate AI, just the AI learning in the life science area, because life sciences still need you to test ingredients in a lab. It still needs you to do the clinicals, and that takes time in any case. So to educate the AI in terms of what works and what doesn't, it takes that time and it takes that effort and it takes that investment, but also takes a lot of technologies to be at the forefront and being able to then take AI to the next level. So AI doesn't work in a box on its own. It's connected to various technologies that happen to be or happen to reach a phase in their development that allow then AI to work. And we work with many different technologies plugged into the AI. So that's number one. This is why AI, it's timely now, because especially in life sciences, because a lot of the other technologies in life sciences are now capable of doing things they couldn't do before. Like, for example, the basic one is when you take a plant and you want to see what molecules are inside, 10 years ago, you could see very few. But today you can see billions through these technologies. So, and that allows an AI to decipher all that information better than humans. Literally what we can do with AI today and what we're doing is understanding how the human actually works. You know, the different pathways in the human body, how they, you know, what does muscle health mean? So biologically, let's say we take muscle health as an example. What does it actually mean biologically? What does it mean in a human? What are the different chemical pathways in the human body that work in order to give a better muscle or healthy muscle? And then the question is, how do you improve that? How do you find, as we age, for example, our muscle cells decay and their performance reduces. So how do you reverse that? And the AI will understand basically those pathways. It will then go off and identify in nature different molecules that would actually modulate those and make them better. And as such, we created an ingredient called PeptiStrong, for example, which I can talk to you a little bit about more later. But basically, PeptiStrong is a good example of an AI-discovered molecule that works in a synergistic way. So it has three different molecules targeting three very different pathways in the human body that ultimately give you better muscle and reverses the signs of muscle age and reduced metabolism and muscle fatigue as we age. So that's a good example of one. And we couldn't, there was no way, Tom, we could have discovered PeptiStrong with no AI use. The reason is because we went through 6 trillion molecules to find three. We looked at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sources to identify this source. In this case, it was fava bean, with three different peptides. We found some peptides in different sources, but they were separate. We wanted one source with all three, very different mechanisms that we were interested in. So we went through 6 trillion, then we had to understand through AI, can we actually access these peptides? So these molecules are called peptides. Can we access them naturally? Or do we have to break down the plant separately do we have to extract them? How do we make them? And again, that usually takes decades, but we did it in a few months through the AI. The AI was capable to tell us you can find these molecules in fava bean, and here's how you can make them accessible to humans. And then obviously when the AI finishes, you have to then go into the lab and validate what the AI is coming up with, making sure what it's telling you is correct. So you're going into the lab, into in vitro, in vivo, in human clinicals. We've done 2 human double-blind placebo clinicals to prove and to take forward the discovery. And we've done that in multiple areas, in sleep, in glucose management, in collagen production, et cetera, et cetera. And all these are being developed and launched as we speak.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's great that you have products already in the marketplace. And because lots of times you see these scientific episodes where people spend money, and then you don't get a product, but you're actually out there with products. Let me switch back over to Alex, because I know that he's been listening to this, and I'll just start off with a crazy question. What do you think of this, Alex? I mean, you looked at a lot of companies using AI. What are your thoughts here? And I might add that AI is not only impacting our industry. I mean, you're from Los Angeles, and I know there's a big strike up there that just got announced last week with the actors and the writers, first time since 1960. So AI has the capacity to disrupt a lot of what's going on in the world today, for good and for maybe for evil. But could you comment, Alex, on what you just heard, and then maybe bring us back to a little bit of philosophy about AI from your perspective?
Yeah, no, definitely, Tom. Well, first, what Nora's talking about, it's incredibly exciting, because I think AI, as Nora said, is really unlocking new capabilities in this industry that haven't existed before. The ability to discover these new molecules that just physically couldn't have been done in the past. And there are multiple companies out there. Obviously, you mentioned beyond Nuritas, Brightseed, and there's some others doing that. There's folks who are supporting the discovery and trial process. Tom, I know you're familiar with Radical Science. They're certainly using AI to facilitate sort of more approachable clinical trials. And then on, if you look at sort of the other end of the spectrum, AI is also, helping the supplement industry in terms of the consumer experience and powering personalization. It's a natural fit for it, where you think about, taking on, biomarker data, maybe from, blood and stool and saliva samples, health histories, regimens, combining that with, a range of potential supplement solutions and dosages. And so, a great example of that might be someone like a Viome, really targeted around, the microbiome and gut health. But again, AI really empowers that, entire, consumer experience, and others, in the personalized nutrition segment are using that as well. So I think these are really, today, some of the most compelling, applications of AI in this business. And I think, we're still pretty early in this, in the supplement business. I think a lot of companies are still trying to figure out where to go in AI. And this is actually, as Tom, you talked about, looking at companies you know, beyond just nutritional supplements. I think that's true for a lot of companies. It's a question that comes up a lot for us. Well, what does AI mean for my business, friend or foe? How do we engage with it? And when you think about, you know, a financial sponsor investing in a company, one of the questions we always get is, well, what's the AI impact on this business? Is it going to be margin dilutive? Is it going to lower the potential addressable market? Is it going to be a boon for growth? And you can imagine the answer differs, you know, by industry. You talk about the writers and actors, you know, strike and the content business. I think you know, there are industries that are closer, you know, to AI, and AI's, you know, has a more immediate impact. So you think about content publishing, think about financial services and some of these businesses where I think AI maybe has taken hold earlier and has more immediate opportunities for disruption. And there's a lot of questions around what is the right way to deploy AI? What is the right application? But I think, you know, potential and promise is large. But it sort of comes back to you know, thinking about, well, what should be the role for AI in my business? How do I engage with it? I think some, again, you take Nora's business, AI is sort of core to the business. Their business is about harnessing the power of AI to bring new things to market. Whereas I think other businesses have to, you know, adapt and how do we fit AI, you know, into our business? And that's where companies are across the spectrum. We can talk more about, you know, how a company should think about that.
I think, and again, I mean, we almost need a whole nother hour to, maybe I'll do another hour with you on how companies can deploy it or not deploy it. But right now, this is just sort of sticking to the beginning of it. And we've actually gotten through a fair number of minutes here without bringing up ChatGPT generation 3, generation 4, because that's what everybody in the consumer public is seeing. And I'm using that in my business. But we had a speaker last year, Nora, at our event that said, if you're not an AI, you're either going to be not in business in the next 5 years, or you're going to be severely constrained versus your, you know, your competition. And I know that Alex you know, looks at that kind of stuff. We can't conquer the world here, but let's just go back to tell me where the AI is, you know, going to be really helpful to our moving nutrition forward. Like, my mission in life is to, you know, prevent Alzheimer's with nutrition and to not have the food system make us sick. Tell me again how you're going to accomplish that, you know, and how AI is going to help you do it faster. You decided to use your, you know, your technology and your expertise to go into peptides. Tell me why peptides, and then if you could just tell me again how you think AI is going to really accelerate your mission.
In terms of how AI, so like I said earlier, there are things we can do today that AI enables us to do. So it's not a choice. It's not a multiple, you know, a choice here where there's this technology, this one, and then we have AI on the sitting and we chose AI. Literally, there are no other ways of doing it. So if the, and it's not an if, it has to happen, the nutritional space wants to advance, the only way to advance is by adopting a lot of AI technology in different ways. Okay. So one is understanding obviously the consumer trends and where their things are going in a much faster way, so we can, you know, interact with consumers better. Another one would be what we're doing, which is, okay, here's a consumer's need. How can we relatively quickly in life sciences create something that's going to satisfy that need, be efficacious, and be safe. So food grade, FDA approved, et cetera, in terms of GRAS approval, and then also have an efficacy. And then other areas where, you know, you're looking at longer term. So, you know, you see these technologies now coming through where you can scan products and look at the health index of a product. I think those trends are going to augment significantly. Consumers' knowledge is constantly growing, and it's going to be more and more AI driven, where it's very objective. And the way your product is shaped, the way the content of that product from an ingredient perspective are going to be at the forefront. So there's going to be no branding magic around it or marketing magic, what I call sometimes waffle. It's going to be literally based on the content of the product, what that content actually does, all the publications associated to that. And that's what these technologies like ChatGPT, et cetera, would allow consumers to do, and other technologies as well. So it's in the interest of the industry to adapt and understand that this is happening, and they have to really move on in terms of how they adapt it. Now, obviously, there's different ways you can work with AI. The fastest way is to partner with companies that are already in the AI space and delivering ingredients. So for us, Tom, really the focus is how can we make products better, more efficacious from a health perspective, better for the planet and safer? And we can do that through AI. We can identify ingredients that can replace the current ones that are much, much better, better sustainability and better health-wise. The reason is because through AI, like I said, you're looking at, you know, 6 trillion at a time rather than just spending a decade or two trying to test a few and then realizing that a decade later that actually they may not be stable or they may not work in human, et cetera, and having to come back and start again. So with AI, you can limit those mistakes and limit the risk as you develop an ingredient. And that's how we're
using it. And therefore, by the way, you don't necessarily have to go down the drug route where you have to, you know, if you do that, you spend, what do they say, 600, 800 million to get a drug. And then sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The AI enables you to do it faster, fail faster, iterate faster. Therefore, you can come up with an ingredient that doesn't necessarily have to be patented. But if it's not patented, how do you make money? How do you protect yourself?
So, Tom, it's the reverse. So what we're doing in this space is we looked, and this comes back to your question about peptides. So for everyone that's listening, peptides are simply the body's messengers. You know, they're the way our bodies communicate internally. Cells communicate together, different molecules communicate together. It's basically the language of life, both for humans, mammals in general, but all types of species. They're basically a short protein, but the difference between a protein and a peptide very often, especially in our space, is that a protein carries a signal that does something. Peptides usually carry it within the system, within the plant they're in, but when you digest them, when you eat a protein, it just gets broken down and it doesn't really perform. It only gives you nutrients. But peptides are nutritional, but on top of it, they can carry a health benefit. And that's why peptides are interesting, because they're nutrients as well from a regulatory perspective. And they're found everywhere. They're found in oils, in plants, and in different areas. But the interesting thing about a peptide as well is that it's not just floating there. So it's not when you eat a source material, let's say fava bean with PeptiStrong, you don't get the benefit of the peptides within fava bean. Your body breaks them down randomly. So it only gets the nutritional part and not the health benefit part that we unlock. So what we do through AI is we find these peptides that otherwise our bodies just break down randomly, and we make them available to humans. This is why we can patent them. So patents are very important. We use the same strategy as pharma in terms of patenting the molecules. We know they're in the plant, but actually they're part of a protein. They're not floating. And we need to go and find them. So they're not there. No one knows they're there. We find them and then we unlock them. And what we patent is a combination of 3 or 4 peptides. And we have patents already granted globally, both US and Europe, based on that. So they're not formulation patents, which are easy to break into. They're not process patents, which are also easy to break into. These are pharma grade patents on the molecules themselves. And this is unique in the space. And this is, again, what AI can allow us to do, because we know our molecules, we know their mechanisms, we know where they are, we know how to make them, and we know the active molecule within the mixture. So it's a very different level to what exists today in the industry. So in the industry today, you have a botanical or something. It's a mixture that may be anti-inflammatory. No one knows how it works, what the active molecule inside is doing. And as such, you know, it's very hard to patent. So you patent formulations, et cetera. What we're doing is a whole different world. We know the molecules, we know where they exist, how to get them, how to make them available for humans, and what they do and their mechanisms. So in any case, in general, nutrition has an effect on your body, and we're just taking it to the next level in terms of, you know, giving the next generation nutrition to individuals and allowing them to, you know, take that benefit. PeptiYouth, for example, was a peptide found in a protein that was in the roots of a pea, the pea vegetable pea, and it protected the roots from attack, from bacterial attacks and harsh conditions, etc. It's been there for about 300 million years. No one has ever has found it or used it. And through AI, we're able to find it because the plant uses it in any case to protect itself. We're able to use it and use it as a personal care in cosmetics. So that's in PepTooth. And we've done two clinicals on that one as well, double-blind placebo clinicals. So that's what we can. We can identify things in nature that are utilized already with a benefit, unlock them, patent them like pharma do, and bring them to consumers in a safe way.
Like to take a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back and sort of dive into maybe the business side of it. And Alex, I want to get a little bit of your perspective on AI and personalized nutrition. So thank you very much. We'll jump right into the break, and then we'll come right back. Thank you.
They call it the Wall Street Journal of our industry. Whether you are looking to give your team the tools they need to become industry experts, or simply looking to understand the trends and latest developments in the health and wellness space, Nutrition Business Journal is where to look. NBJ releases 10 trusted reports per year, such as the Personalized Nutrition Report, the Sports Nutrition Report, and the Sales Channel Report. This is where you'll find detailed data on the sales, growth, and market trends within various categories. They also have a bi-weekly newsletter called NBJ Analyst Take, and you can start by subscribing there for some free charts and graphs. Visit nutritionbusinessjournal.com and click newsletter to get started. Nutrition Business Advisors, strategic and capital connections to improve your business. We help our clients by facilitating strategic relationships throughout the industry, conducting custom market research projects, such as the size and the trends of the astaxanthin supplement market, and portfolio analysis, business planning, and competitive landscaping to help prepare your business for a sale or investment. To hear more about our services or get in touch, visit nutritionbusinessadvisors.com. That's nutritionbusinessadvisors.com.
Okay, we're back, back from the commercial break. And my first comment is I need 2 hours, Molly, for this one. And we're not Joe Rogan, so we don't have 3 hour podcast. So we're going to keep driving forward to try to summarize this. But I can see that there's a whole nother podcast that we can break into. So we're back talking to Dr. Kaldi, Nora Kaldi from Neurotest, and Alex Evans from LEK. Alex, why don't we talk a little bit during the break? Why don't you talk about what you see Nora doing, and maybe even turn on your analytical hat? Like, where is she going to run into problems here, or where are the challenges going to be? If you were advising her, what would you tell her to do right now? What would you tell her to be cautioned about?
Yeah, no, great question, Tom. Well, look, I mean, I think Nora and her company are doing a lot of great things. And I think, you know, one of the things we were talking about is just the nimbleness and focus of an organization like Neuritas. You know, the fact that, you know, it's not easy to do what they've done, you know, to, you know, essentially, if you think about AI, it's only as good as the data that goes into it and the data it's trained on. And that doesn't just appear magically. And so, you know, Neuritas has taken this very intentional, you know, focus around peptides, and then, you know, looking at all the science, and then going through, you know, trillions of calculations and iterations, and then you come up with potential products. And then there's a whole validation aspect. And this is similar to, you know, the ChatGPT output. You could ask ChatGPT something, but it may or may not be correct. Sometimes, you know, ChatGPT hallucinates. And so there, you can't take AI necessarily at face value. It's certainly incredibly powerful, but it also needs to be used in the right context. So I think, having that focus, having the richness of data, being, you know, out there in market and you know, developing these solutions is great. I think also that the sort of partnering approach is the right one. I think it would be more of a challenge for you know, companies like Neuritas if they were focused on developing their own set of branded proprietary products and trying to go head to head.
Although probably tempting if they end up with an ingredient that they, you know, I think they're working on one, what's PepTooth she told me about, yeah. Or a skincare one that can make everybody look younger. That's a $200 million product. And she's going to partner with someone. Maybe she's thinking, hey, I want a piece of that $200 million.
Yeah, that's the point. You said partner with someone, right? And much would a Unilever pay to license that product and you know, others out there? And there's tremendous opportunity to be that, you know, developer of these novel solutions. So I think Veritas is doing, you know, the right things. I think it's you know, being out there. I think it's you know licensing and showing proof of concept with these products, and you know, they have, you know, products commercialized in market. I think just getting more traction with that is the right thing, and not worrying about what you know big pharma is doing or the big CPGs, because ultimately they're going to have to come to you as either, you know, customers or, you know, investors. So I think it's full speed ahead. I think the bigger challenge or the questions are, what do you do if you're a large company? You know, what do the large CPGs and pharmas do in this space? I think that's actually probably the more fascinating question. And I think companies are all over the map here. I think some are sort of at the very early stages. I think some have AI task forces in place.
Yeah, they do. They do. But I mean, you know, you and I both know some of these large companies, and I know some of them have even been talking to Nora.
Yeah.
And they maybe went in early, and they don't quite get it. And big companies don't make decisions fast. Or maybe some of these big companies have come in and Nora says, you know, we don't want you to control it right now. But companies like Nestle and Herbalife and Unilever and Procter and Gamble and Church and Dwight and all these Reckitt Benckiser, I mean, they're all looking for an edge and innovation in the marketplace. So I don't know. They must have a large task force because they have lots of money. But the question is, where will the applications be and where will they see, you know, a real difference in their businesses? And you know, is Nora willing to sell or partner with one of those companies? I don't know. Yeah. Are you, Nora? Has Nestle knocked on your door, or can you not share that, or you have to kill me?
I have to kill you, Tom, but it's a big problem to solve. We're just at the tippy top of the iceberg in terms of solving it. And we will. There's our ingredients, the goal with our ingredients is to grow, you know, cross borders, to go into the obviously sports nutrition, food, medical food, etc., with our ingredients. And we still have a lot to do. We've grown, we have products on the market, both now in the US and in the EU. We thought the EU was going to be slower, but it's not. In pharmacies in the EU, in different stores, we're going into food. Our first food launch is going to be in fall this year, which is massive for us, followed by one in the EU as well, a food launch with the same ingredient, you know, crossing borders. And that's, I think, is very, very important. So in terms of partnerships, Tom, I think there's different levels. We, you know, when we didn't have ingredients, our goal, obviously, where the value sits for Neurotas is the ingredients we're developing and taking them forward, but also the technology itself, as it can create many, many, many more in different areas with different health benefits, et cetera. And then the way we take those ingredients to market can differ. We can take it as an ingredient. We may, you know, partner with certain groups to develop a product together with them and take it. But ultimately, what the platform is good at doing is starting off with a consumer need and identifying a solution that works with clinical efficacy, with strong patent-like, pharma-like patents, and taking those to market. We also worked in the past where we collaborated on new projects, where the projects came out of large corporates that had, you know, an idea of, I want to do X, Y, and Z, and then we partnered with them to do it. But what we noticed is that very often those partnerships, even though a lot of them have gone really, really well and we discovered things, et cetera, but they tend to be longer. And very often these corporates change a lot in terms of the structure and the management. So what's important for them today may not be in 3 years' time. And so we continue to do some of this, but really the goal is the partnership on the taking our ingredients to market ourselves and using partners in different ways, whether contract manufacturers, direct sales, or finished products, and taking those to market. And so far it's been really interesting. I think the biggest learning for us, Tom and Alex, has been taking something new to market is never easy, because you're learning in terms of they have questions. Customers have questions that we didn't think about and we should have thought about. But because it's new, you know, they're used to working with an omega-3, a vitamin C, et cetera. When something new comes to them, basic questions of formulation, you know, are the peptides going to survive baking? You know, are they going to survive my process? And that took a while to get right, but now we've plugged that in as well. And the AI system is learning from those as well, from what works, what doesn't work. And as we go through the channel from start to end, you plug that knowledge into the AI. So the AI, you know, looks for efficacy, but it also looks for product development, heat stability, you know, oil availability, et cetera, et cetera. But again, like Alex said, we spent a lot on creating that data, accurate data that we own as proprietary tools to feed the AI and teach it.
How many products do you have in the hopper right now? You don't have to reveal them all, but you said you spent $45, $50 million in Series B funding. And I imagine now you're starting to generate revenues. I don't know where the company is in seeking more investment and things like that. But how many products in the hopper? And then can you share what some of the rollout of some of the next ones are going to be that you can share? Yes. And then my third question, I'm sorry, a few questions at once, but how do you pick the products? Like, how'd you pick PeptiStrong or PeptiYouth or whatever you're choosing next? Remember the other day we talked about, I asked if you had a natural semi-glutide out there, which is a natural form of Ozempic, because that's what everybody's talking about. So.
Yeah, we have one as well, by the way. It's in development, Tom. So that's a very good question, Tom. And it took a while to get that right. So again, as a new technology, all the problems you want to solve are massive or big and sexy. And the question is, what do you focus on? And it has to be an area where you can outcompete what already exists in that area. So you understand the market, you understand what competition are there, how do they differentiate, and then can the technology find better and is it worth it? You know, is it going to be cost effective? Is it going to be differentiated enough that we stand out, et cetera, et cetera. And those now we've integrated in the way we look for ingredients. And also, obviously, can the technology find it? You know, can the do we have enough data to educate the technology to find in this area? We launched two the end of last year. One is PeptiStrong, which is in various products today in the muscle health area, crossing from sports nutrition into health and well-being, now into food and medical food.
Can you give us some examples of which foods are in if I want to go tomorrow and buy one?
Yeah, the foods, Tom, are going to be launched. They're being launched this fall. So it's going to be in the format of bars and actually pancake mixes for now, just very basic in terms of food products, but we wanted to go real food.
And you can't share the company yet?
I can't share any details.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah,
that's
okay.
It's going to be in October, November launch. And then in the US, but also followed by EU. So that's PeptiStrong. We have PeptiYouth in the cosmetic space. So PeptiYouth, again, two human double-blind placebo clinicals. We always do at least two double-blind placebo clinicals where we go head-to-head with competition and understand the mechanism of how it works, et cetera. And they are efficacy clinical. So that one is going to be launching a product this year, first product, US, and growing from there. We only launched it again end of last year, beginning this year. And then we have many more. We have about, currently we have about 10 to 12 in the hopper at different levels. So we have one in the cosmetic spaces on black, you know, dark spots. So dark spot reduction, we have one in sleep and cognition. We have one in the GLP area. We have a different one for glucose management in general. So reducing the effect glucose has on your body if you eat glucose and other many others coming through. We have one in taste as well, taste modulation. So it varies. We have quite a few coming through at different levels. So they're either late development phase going into an in vivo, into human, or maybe slightly sometimes earlier.
I'm going to run out of time, but I did want to give Alex a chance to, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. And then at the end, I'm going to see if you guys have any questions for each other. And I hope you get to spend some time at the summit coming up. Alex will be there as well. You know, I don't know if you've thought about personalized nutrition, but Alex and I have been talking about personalized nutrition for 7 years now. And this whole field of, like, you know, knowing what you're taking based on what you need for your body, you know, like this is the future, instead of like taking, you know, 28 supplements a day, like I do, which ones do I really need based on my blood work, based on my stool, based on my urine, based on my saliva. And that's happening as we speak. Alex, I know it's a long answer, short question, but is AI going to help us move personalized nutrition forward faster? Because we haven't really seen that unicorn take off yet?
Good question, Tom. Personalized nutrition is an ideal application for AI. And as you mentioned, it's already being deployed there. It has a lot of those characteristics that lend itself to AI, right? You've got large, complex, input data sets, the clinical studies, the consumer provided data, you've got reference data, sort of complex bodies of, again, clinical studies and whatnot. And then you need to sort of sort through a list of available solutions. And this may be, in the more sophisticated applications tied to, fulfillment around, really personalized, supplement, food, nutrition recommendations, and have that pattern recognition and learning capability and sort of have that dynamic possibility enabled by AI. So does AI make sense in personalized nutrition? Yes. Is AI being deployed in personalized nutrition? Yes. And there are I think I mentioned earlier, Viome, that they do have an AI-based platform. So I think AI is going to be part of the solution for personalized nutrition and personalized well-being more broadly. It's really probably some of the challenges in that are just unlocking some of the business model issues around that, around some of the costs. A lot of these are direct to consumer with high customer acquisition and retention costs. Fulfillment, on the back end, can be expensive. And so there's an issue around democratizing personalized nutrition, making it accessible and not a super premium product. AI may or may not be the unlock for that. It certainly, can be helpful. It's certainly going to be part of the answer. And I think the winning platforms in personalized nutrition are going to, have AI. And I think it's maybe, the applications of AI that help deliver, not only the tailored, recommendation solution, but in a cost-effective manner. I think that's the part that still is missing. And then, being able to bring in data. And again, you've got, trackers and wearables and other ways to have the feedback. Because I think a big part of, the personalized nutrition loop that's missing is that feedback loop that sort of keeps the consumer engaged to see the results, to stay with it. That compliance issue is really acute here. And I think, AI is part of the solution, but I don't think it's the silver bullet that suddenly it makes personalized nutrition ubiquitous, but it is part of the answer.
So I could spend a few hours speaking about personalized nutrition, very interesting area like personalized medicine. Theoretically, AI is the system to use in order to associate something to a target in the body. So you want to modulate something, here's something you can take to modulate it. So less inflammation, less TNF, etc. The issue is that we're far away from the reality of personal nutrition. Yes, there are people trying to do it, but we're still in this space where we're taking a macro view of, okay, here's a mixture that can reduce inflammation. And this population is proto-inflammation, so let's put them together. So it's very macro level. There's fundamentally no understanding of how it works. And in order to take personal nutrition to the level where it should be at, where it's true personal nutrition, we need to understand basically how an ingredient works, how whatever you're subscribing or consumer taking, how does it actually work in the human body? And then understanding, obviously, the human themselves. So either the group, if it's diabetics or a personal nutrition, where it's you, one person, understanding their genetics, their proteomics, et cetera, and then associating both. Today, that does not happen. Today, it's just general, okay, this person is suffering from high inflammation, potentially TNF alpha circulating that's too high. Let's give them turmeric. But, turmeric may not work on the person very likely, or it may vary seasonally, and we don't know how it works. So it may be causing something else. So those are the things that I think AI would be good at sorting out. But ultimately, what needs to happen beforehand is a fundamental understanding of how things work. The funny thing I always say usually is that we know more about space and planets and stars than we know about what we eat every day, which is crazy. There are big gaps we haven't sorted yet.
Right. No, I agree. the big debate is when somebody's going to uncork that and how long is it going to take? And we haven't seen it yet, but we'll see it soon. Last question. This is an interesting question about AI and ChatGPT. You know, somebody once said to me, it's going to take a little longer than we think for it to start to unroll. But when we look back at it, it's going to have happened a lot faster than we think. So the slowness in some of the companies sort of adopting some of this stuff, you know, sometimes I can't believe they're not, because they might get just disintermediated. What I think is, I think this AI is happening at such an exponentially fast rate. It's just going to happen. It's like it's almost going to happen too fast. And I think we're going to have some dark sides to this before we see all the light sides. That's just my own personal view. How fast is AI going to happen? And if you're a CEO, what would you be doing now, Alex?
I think your point, Tom, I think it will happen faster than you think, but it's not necessarily where you think it will be. Is AI, we've been talking a lot about AI and nutrition, on ingredient discovery and commercialization. We've been talking about personalization. There's a lot of applications for AI, and I think it will gain traction in a lot of these areas, and it will become more and more part of the mainstream. You know, you see a lot of AI applications throughout. If you think of a company, there are AI applications, you know, for finance, for recruiting, for supply chain planning, legal process. And these are being deployed. And it's, you know, the issues are probably more tractable than, you know, understand the efficacy paths of different, you know, bioactives. And then you see, you know, marketing departments using AI to test copy. You see customer service chatbots. And so I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, deployment of AI in these different pockets. I think where bigger opportunities, maybe the harder to win areas are some of the, you know, either the on the product development side or some of the consumer experience side. And that may take longer to sort. But, you know, AI is going to be pervasive throughout companies. And I think it's incumbent on, you know, an executive, you know, to understand, hey, we need to, you know, figure out what are our objectives with AI? Where, you know, how does this, you know, map to our overall organization? What processes are this most applicable to? And then, you know, think about, you know, the implications, because there are many policies we have, procedures, people issues, right? We haven't really talked about the what AI means in terms of people and the implications. That's a lot of, you know, what the labor strikes in you know, the SAG and WGA revolve around. But I think that's important.
I'm going to ask each of you just to give a final word of advice as to what you know. Actually, I'd love to ask, like, what do you think people should read or look at as a resource? If you're a CEO of a company, that's who's listening to this. But on the speed of this, Nora, any thoughts?
I think, like any technology, when it's bound to computers, it's very fast. So any technology when it's restricted to a computer, it's superbly fast. When it starts leaving the computer, going into other areas like life sciences, where you have to actually take those learnings and put them in action, that's when it becomes slow. However, I think what's interesting is that we've seen AI come from really no one really understanding what AI does or is, to now everyone speaking about AI. I remember, Tom, at a conference when I was presenting AI many years ago, maybe only five years ago, one of the people in the conference told me, I said AI a few times, and he said, are you talking about artificial insemination? And I'm like, no, we're talking about artificial intelligence. So I think the world has come a long way. In terms of executives and companies, I think the fastest way to integrate with this move, because you have to move, is by partnering with companies that are already within the AI space, as opposed to doing it from scratch yourself. Eventually, I think the large corporates will bring some in, but initially it is about partnering with the right companies, whether from an ingredient perspective, whether from a consumer trend perspective, et cetera, and using that knowledge and how and growing that way. But also, I think every company should have someone in their business that has an AI type mentality, that understands, because a lot of these businesses, Tom, are creating a lot of data. no matter what, maybe run clinicals in the life sciences or in a separate world, they're, you know, creating a lot of Excel sheets and documents, etc. And very often it's very hard to retrofit that to AI if you start using AI in the future. So it's always easier to say, I'm going to implement a process in my company where I'm going to create, and it doesn't cost anything and it doesn't take more time, but at least the formats of what you're putting together in terms of data is going to fuel future AI, and that the format is okay for AI, as opposed to, you know, deciding 5 years time, now I need to plug in AI and I need to start from scratch because all the data I've accumulated is worth nothing. So I think every company should be thinking, at least from their own perspective, what are we accumulating data-wise today and how can we make it AI friendly? See what, you know, what is used, how are they accumulating the data? Because the biggest issue with AI, and I've seen it, when I look at life science, when I look at all the peer-reviewed publications in science community, a lot of them we can't use because the formats of them are not AI friendly in any way. So you can extract certain information, but there's so much lost information they could have extracted from that experiment that's not even in the paper. So, and that educates AI because AI thinks in multidimensional space, not in one dimensional space as humans do. So we write in a one dimensional space. Here's our experiment. Here's the one measure we found, and here's its significance. But instead of saying, okay, here are all the measurements we found, and obviously we're focused on one, that is much better information for an AI because then it can integrate all that. Today, all that information is gone. We can't go back. So I think someone, yeah. So I would say to any company to work with companies like ours or others within the AI space already that have that already, and we've built that already, and also to integrate an individual starting with one that looks into the company and sees how can the company think in terms of building for future AI.
Yeah, it's great. I did that in my small consulting practice where I just, one of my employees who's 28 years old is, you know, kind of took a liking to ChatGPT, showed me it 6 months ago. And I said, your job is to figure out how this is going to replace us, me, and how we can use, ChatGPT. And she's already starting it to do that. So I think you're right. Alex, there's an opportunity for you. I'm sure maybe you have clients that are, you're trying to help get into the AI space. Any thoughts on what companies should do, what they should read, Alex? And then I think we're going to sum up.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that you know, partnering is the right approach here. You know, for the expertise, for the flexibility of solution, and just sort of the speed to market. It's hard to invent this yourself. And I think also the point about, you know, taking an enterprise wide view of really what do we want to, you know, do with AI? How does it transform our business, and how should we best, prepare for it, bring it on board and iterate and make it part of our business. I think in terms of, AI, it's a fast moving, area, keeping up, you're reading, I would say, look beyond your industry, particularly if you're in the nutritional supplement world, looking at what's happening because other sectors are moving faster and are, more at, call it the cutting edge of AI. And so I think you will get more out of, looking at what's going on in the media and content world, what's going on in the finance world and other areas. Look, this is a world where, people don't always have time to read. I would suggest maybe, listening to the AI podcast from NVIDIA, who certainly benefited from the AI boom. I might suggest, people subscribe to that podcast to keep up, and they bring on people from, different industries and take, different perspectives on AI. So that'd be one thought.
I'm going to say something I haven't said in 21 podcasts. We need to do another one of these. So I don't know what kind of combination, but I have four more questions I didn't get to. So I'll leave people with that mystery of what those questions are. I really appreciate both of your time on this. And we tried to cover a lot of ground very quickly. And I hope the two of you can get together at the summit. And again, as a commercial, Alex, the work you've done on the deck, in my opinion, a fantastic summary. And if you want to contact me, I'll put you in touch with Alex. And then Nora, what's the URL address so I get it right for Neuritas?
Neuritas.com.
Neuritas.com. And you'll get to see what I think is going to be one of the disruptors of what we're doing in the nutrition industry going forward. So I'd like to thank both of you from the bottom of my heart for your time. I know time is very valuable, and I don't know if AI is going to create more time in our lives going forward. That's my big hope for AI. But I really appreciate your time today. I look forward to seeing you at the summit. And thanks for all your words of wisdom and for being so open and transparent with this exciting new development in the nutrition world. Thank you, Nora. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Nora.
Nutrition Business Today with creator and host Tom Arts. We welcome your feedback. Email us with your comments, questions, and suggestions. NutritionBusinessToday@gmail.com. And if you like the show, please give us a 5-star rating and don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss a single episode. Nutrition Business Today is produced in collaboration with Navigator Digital Media. I'm Izzy Davis. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.